am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, August 31st, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride to be sure. And there are no accidents. There are no coincidences. And the accidental impression of history is a stubbornly persistent myth and illusion. So yesterday we played the clip, John Judge, the late, great, legendary, incomparable John Judge, talking at the University of Washington Ethnic Cultural Center back in February of 2002. That was a clip that was posted by Talking Stick back in 2010. So this is just a few short months after September 11, 2001. And he had a number of provocative remarks at the time, including foreshadowing the invasion of Afghanistan for specious reasons under surreptitious justifications for, you know, with ostensible motives, you know, the good reason versus the real reason kind of stuff, as Alan Watt used to remind us. And we played a little bit of that based on, I just wanted to play that because I always think of that when I think of Vietnam. You know, there's a very short explanation usually to these escapades that the United States military and government have been involved in. And I think that this typifies what I call the euphemism that, you know, government really is just a euphemism for someone's private interest. And we see that throughout American history and history in general. Obviously, there are people involved, but these organizations are used to mask that reality and give the impression and the illusion that it's just this big organism and no one has any control over it and it does what it wants, but that's not true. So I wanted to give an extended clip from John Judge's talk, post-9/11 talk, and I think you will agree that, you know, especially as we approach now, this is the last day of August 2022. having a conversation with a friend yesterday. He said, you know, this is the year. Now we come up in a little less than 2 weeks now where there's a generation of people in a few days where they'll walk into, maybe they'll walk into a bar or something like that, or a grocery store, convenience store, and they'll see a thing that says, unless you are this age, unless you were born on or after September 11, 2001, you cannot buy this product. These people are turning 21. And that is a remarkable thing. Back in 2011, September 11, 2011, the 10-year anniversary of September 11, 2001, James Corbett did a piece and he said, you know, if we haven't figured this out by now, 10 years later, how to put this narrative right and how to correct people's erroneous thinking on these matters, then we're doomed, basically, paraphrasing what he said. And now here we are more than a decade later after that, and we have an entire generation of folks now that have been born into this big lie, perhaps the greatest lie that's ever been told in history. People talk about historical revisionism, and we've witnessed this right out in plain sight. You know, it's a fact of history, indisputable, irrefutable, just an established fact of history, that the Taliban had shut down opium production almost entirely in Afghanistan, calling it un-Islamic before the invasion. And then almost immediately after the invasion of Afghanistan, which really had nothing to do with the events of September 11, 2001 by any stretch of the imagination. If we say, well, they were training terrorists, then the immediate response to that should be, well, who exactly was training the terrorists? Because wasn't it CIA and friends, you know, proxies of CIA? It was CIA training camps. It was the continuation of the Afghan Mujahideen that we created, that Zbigniew Brzezinski admitted to creating back in 1997. He admitted that. So, I mean, isn't that an important part of the discussion? These are established facts. Opium production skyrockets in a country that gets invaded for having nothing to do with September 11. John Judge predicted it months after September 11, predicted all of this. Bill Cooper predicted the blaming on Saddam or Osama bin Laden of something, June 28, 2001. How did he know? What did Rand Corporation know when they were writing, preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security? What did they know when that was published in April of 2001? Was the Project for a New American Century prescient in the document Rebuilding America's Defenses, calling for a catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor to sort of reinvigorate and galvanize American hegemony? And on the list goes. You know, the fact, the established fact, according to the establishment narrative, is that 15 of 19 alleged hijackers were Saudi. So did we turn Saudi Arabia into the proverbial glass parking lot? No, they're one of our dearest allies in the region. The other terrorist organization being the so-called State of Israel, which is, I would say, a counterfeit of the biblical Israel. You know, and that was another conversation that, you know, seems to reemerge from time to time. You have essentially Christian Zionists, or, you know, who the folks who Adam Kinzinger calls the Christian Taliban. And I don't think that's far removed. You know, radical fundamentalist Zionists, without really knowing it, because remember, Joe Biden told us all those years ago that you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. So you have these folks that have bought into another big lie, supporting all of this terrorism, essentially, around the world. And the history and background of that whole situation, which is another discussion, dating back to at least, say, the $50 million land purchase by Baron Edmund de Rothschild, and the first Zionist Congress, certainly, where Theodore Herzl was asked, what is the greatest achievement that comes out of this? He said, well, you know, people would laugh at me today, and, you know, you won't see it in 20, maybe 30 years, but, you know, 30, 40 years, certainly in 50 years, you'll see that, you know, I created the state of Israel. That's what he said. That's the greatest achievement out of the first Zionist Congress of 1897. And sure enough, almost 50 years to the day, 50 years almost to the day, that's what happened. So you have that, you have the Balfour Declaration, which Quigley revealed to us was not written by Balfour, but you know, these other intriguers, and the British Mandate, and on the list goes. Then if you read Christopher Bolin, you realize that this is a terrorist network. Admittedly, they boast about it. You go back into the history, coming out of the 40s and forward, this is a terrorist network. This is a crime syndicate, a world terrorist network. But I don't think that most Christian Zionists who don't realize they're Zionists have studied Zionism, revisionist Zionism, the Irgun, the Stern Gang, and the whole history that I just sort of breezed over. Anyway, we have this, and that's part of the broader 9/11 discussion. Obviously, you know, if you've listened to or read anything that Christopher Bolin, for example, has put out, then you know that. But this is the big lie. This is it happening before our very eyes. So it's astonishing to watch these things happen and play out in real time, and yet so many people don't know. So let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back 20 years or so to John Judge's talk and replay a little bit of an extended clip of what we played yesterday. This, again, you can find it on YouTube, Talking Stick TV channel, and the title of the video on YouTube is Talk John Judge, A Talk About 9/11, again, published October 14, 2010. Go ahead, please.
Because I've studied terrorist scenarios for 20 years. I've studied what the corporations are saying about them, the Defense Department, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and all this planning around terrorism after we lost the Soviet Union as a big enemy became planning for martial law and how they were going to dismantle the Constitution in order to protect the country. And a lot of that is exactly what's happening now, is taking away our rights to somehow protect our rights. But you don't need democracy half as much between wars as you need it during a war. Exercising democracy between wars would be like being a vegetarian between meals. This is when you need a democracy. And this is when the least amount of information is going to come to you. Bush wants to do everything in secret. He wants to have the trials in secret. The evidence will be secret. The war will be secret. The enemy will be secret. Some point they'll reveal the secret that the war is over, I guess, or who it was we were fighting. But that's 10 years from now. You know, we're in the same position as Winston in 1984. Every month they were fighting Eurasia or East Asia, but they couldn't figure out who they were fighting. If they were fighting Eurasia, the Ministry of Truth said, we've always been at war with Eurasia, and East Asia has always been our ally. Then the next month, we're at war with East Asia. They've always been our enemy, and our ally was always Eurasia. And then they'd have the hate week, and they'd put up a picture of Goldstein, and everybody would boo at Goldstein, the horrible traitor, you know. No one was also allowed to see the war in 1984. They saw films of the war. They never met a veteran from the war. They couldn't find anything about POWs or people captured from the war, even though it was being claimed. So as far as Winston knew, it could have all been a propaganda situation. His job in the Ministry of Truth was to take the news in the past and to adjust it so it met the propaganda of the present. And he'd put things down what he called the memory hole. He had another friend at the Ministry of Truth he used to eat lunch with, and that guy's job was to reduce the number of words in the dictionary. Because they thought if they reduced the words that might lead to dissent, then nobody would even be able to conceptualize dissent. Does anyone have a word for it? Okay. I mean, this was the theme in 84. But it really is a very bad situation. And it's not a bad situation in terms of the enemy that we are supposedly facing. Most of that enemy we created ourselves. Even if you could say for sure, and you can't based on the evidence they've given us so far, but even if you could say for sure, okay, this came from bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda, that doesn't tell you who created or planned out September the 11th. Bin Laden was created out of Saudi wealth. He worked for Saudi intelligence. He worked for Pakistani intelligence. He worked for U.S. intelligence. The CIA funded him, and all through the war against the Soviet Union and post that period, been in touch with him and passed funding through Pakistani intelligence to him. So you don't know whose agenda this is just because you know it's bin Laden, or they demonized this guy, you know, for a little bit. Same with Saddam Hussein. He's the big demon, the evil Saddam Hussein. There was the CIA put Saddam Hussein into power. You know, and if they wanted him out of power, he wouldn't be in power any longer. Saddam Hussein had financial ties with George Bush Sr., with Poppy Bush. There's a multinational corporation called the Carlyle Corporation, where Poppy Bush works now, and W has investments in, and that corporation also is a big investment firm for the bin Laden family. Except they just bought out the bin Ladens for image purposes in the last month. And Colin Powell was running around in July of last year telling the surrounding countries that the U.S. was going to militarily intervene in Afghanistan in mid-October, in July. Not in response to September the 11th. September 11th is nothing but pretext. And it has more to do with the war at home than it has to do with the war abroad, but being used as an excuse for both. But wherever the war abroad is, this 10-year war, that's already on the books. My mother worked 5 levels above top security in the Pentagon. She's the highest paid woman employee of the Pentagon for many years. She projected the draft call for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. She had to get it right within 100 people either way on the annual call 5 years ahead. And I asked her after she retired, when did they tell you they would escalate the war in Vietnam? And she told me that in spring of 1963, for the first time in her career at the Pentagon, they had told her to change her projections. They said on orders of the White House in the spring of 1963, in April, that all American troops would be withdrawn from Vietnam by the end of 1964. On orders of John F. Kennedy. Kennedy was pulling out of Vietnam, and they told her to change the figures. And I asked her, when did they tell you they would escalate the war? When did they reverse that? She said, late November 63. I said, the last week, because November 22nd, Friday, Kennedy is killed in Dallas. She said, the Monday following the assassination. November 25th, Kennedy's barely in the grave. I said, was this a few more advisors? She said, I couldn't believe the figures. I took them back to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I said, these can't be right. I used to tease my mother that that was the first civilian protest of the war in Vietnam. These can't be right. November 25, 63, they told my mother they were going into a 10-year war with 57,000 American dead. That's what they did. 1973, war ends, 57,500 names on the wall there. And we tried to stop that war, but believe me, they know where they're going. And where they're going has little to do with what they tell you about where they're going or why they're going there.
And, you know, I thought we'd pause it there. We have a couple minutes before we break, a little bit more time. What he says next, I think, again, is provocative. So, you know, they know where they're going, and where they're going has little to do with what they tell you about where they're going or why they're going there. Fascinating stuff. Maybe just a few more seconds as we go into the break. Can we just play out the rest of that, please?
Where they're going to in Afghanistan has not so much to do with any distaste for the Taliban, who they put in power anyway, and armed so that they could take out the Soviet Union. It certainly has nothing to do with liberating women. They paid for the end of the liberation of women back in the 90s. When they put these reactionary mullahs in and the Soviet Union fell, the women were being educated back then. They certainly didn't go over there to free women any more than the Civil War was a bunch of white people fighting each other to free slaves. And these are economic realities. There was something going on there that had to do.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My friend is feel as their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me he
was such a great talk that John Judge did. A wealth of knowledge, obviously. He was one of those guys that, like our John Stadmiller, had forgotten more than most people ever learn. And it's astonishing. Much of the information is just kind of hiding out there in plain sight. If we want to go looking for it, we can. I was... I did a little looking for asymmetric warfare stuff in the last couple of days, and it's just astonishing what you can see telegraphed at the RAND Corporation. And so I think what's most fascinating about that is, you know, the volume of information that you can download from the war colleges or the think tanks, particularly RAND, and you know, certain subjects are the proclivity of certain think tanks or, you know, those kinds of organizations. But you know, you can find all kinds of stuff at CFR or, you know, the Atlantic, you know, foreign policy kind of stuff, Foreign Policy Magazine, or just RAND Corporation monographs. So much telegraphing goes on, and you wonder, doesn't that compromise sources and methods? Doesn't that reveal, you know, certain things? Doesn't that preclude the element of surprise? Anybody anywhere can download this stuff. So it's fascinating to see that and to sort of watch it in hindsight a little bit, if you will. And you can see, you know, the trajectory of the things, like what John Judge talked about, is telegraphed at places like RAND. It's fascinating. It reminds me, you know, in a foreign policy sort of context and at a more glacial speed, it reminds me of what happens on election day. I think it's fascinating. When we talk about voting, that's fine. We can talk about voting. That's great. But I think, you know, the cliche attributed to Stalin, largely, it's not who votes that counts, but who counts that votes, applies with force if we watch what happens in America on election day. You know, on Tuesday morning in November, what happens? Your local news publishes something, and nobody seems to be troubled by the fact that the local news is telling you who you voted for at 10 a.m. before a single poll has closed and before a single vote has been counted. Is that not troubling? It is to me. How can they do that magic trick? Well, Chris, you don't understand. See, it's exit polling data. Ah, I see. Okay, well, let's pretend that magic trick is real. It's not David Copperfield. Let's pretend for a moment that's real. Find me someone who even knows someone who's been polled at an exit poll, let alone someone who's actually been polled. Let's find someone who's been polled, and you tell me that a person who goes in and casts their vote in private is going to come out and reveal who they voted for? That sounds counterintuitive. And then from there, somehow you're going to use that data to accurately predict and project winners of races down to the exact number of votes and tenth of a percentage, for example. That's not sleight of hand at work somewhere. And magically, the numbers that are projected match up exactly with the numbers after the election. Of course we want it that way. That's the Hollywood ending that Trevor Aronson talked about in his TED Talk, how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. It's the Hollywood ending. We all want it because we've been groomed on Hollywood endings for so long. This is what we expect. If it's not a neat, tidy little, you know, if it doesn't get buttoned up by 8, okay, maybe 9, maybe 10 p.m. If it's not buttoned up by 10 p.m., then I'm just irritated and something needs to change. We need to fix this. We got a Hollywood ending by 8 p.m. Perfect. Now I can go to sleep and either be mad at who won or happy at who won. Either way, I like the Hollywood ending. It's insane. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Primary season is coming to an end. I'm Peter Serfied with today's Liberty Minute. With primary elections nearly over and the general election fast approaching, I want to reiterate a flaw in the entire election process. Why are there any laws about primaries? The primary election is how political parties choose what candidates to place on the ballot. Political parties are private organizations. They should make their own rules. For example, if a party wants to allow independent voters to vote in their primary, it should be the party's decision, not the state government's. There are 5 nationally recognized political parties, but the Democrats and Republicans have been in power for so long, they have made laws specifically designed to protect their power. These private, supposedly nonprofit organizations must be afraid of open and fair competition. Find more commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, August 31st, last day of August 2022. And yesterday, Larry sent me this excerpt from a Meet the Press interview. 1975 Meet the Press interview with Frank Church, Senator Frank Church from Idaho, and a lot of interesting revelations came out in the Church Committee hearings. Some people, maybe Aaron and Melissa Dykes, for example, might argue that the information that was presented along the lines of things like MK Ultra, mind control. The drug stuff specifically was sort of a limited hangout intended to either mask or lead us away from, keep us from looking at certain other things, like the technology, for example, and the cybernetic bent, the flicker rate on television screens and monitors, for example, that is used specifically to put someone in an alpha state or a kind of a trance-like state. So, Frank Church was an interesting guy. I might talk about that some more later, but for now, you know, speaking of asymmetric warfare, irregular war, unconventional war, all that kind of stuff, basically kind of exactly what JFK mentioned in his, what is referred to as his secret society speech. That little excerpt, you know, when we play clips from that from time to time from his April 27, 1961 address before the American Newspaper Publishers Association. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. You know that one. And everything that went along with that. We're opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert or covet, either one. And I forget, John in Tennessee and I had this discussion at one point. I looked at Kennedy's personal notes. We figured it out. Either one works. You know, relies primarily on covert means is what the world has been reading all these years. For expanding its sphere of influence on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Is that just the common turn that he's talking about, the communist international? Is it just the communist bent? Is it just? I don't think so. You know, and to that, before we play the Frank Church clip, Larry also sent me today, I believe, this morning, the infamous Mikhail Gorbachev excerpt from his speech to the Soviet Politburo back in 87. I've talked about how we got our own glasnost and perestroika, didn't we, dear comrades? Glasnost is openness and transparency. What did the Obama administration tell us? We're the most open and transparent administration. That's what glasnost is in English, openness and transparency. What a coincidence. Perestroika is the reconstruction as a result. What happened? There's that Wikipedia entry for glasnost that has been so altered, it's unrecognizable, like so many things. But you can go back in history, and I have the old one bookmarked. I remember this is one of the things that changed almost immediately after I mentioned it at one point. So I have the October 20, 2009 edition bookmarked, which includes these words: areas of concern. While glasnost is associated with freedom of speech, the main goal of this policy was to make the country's management transparent. Management. Who's interested in management? Cyberneticians and technocrats? Thus circumventing the narrow circle of apparatchiks who previously exercised complete control over the economy. Through reviewing the past of or current mistakes being made, it was hoped that the Soviet people would back reforms such as perestroika. Well, again, there is the good reason and the real reason, right? Ostensibly, you might say, there, through reviewing, etc. What actually happened, though? Glasnost gave new freedoms to the people, such as a greater freedom of information by opening the secret parts for unallowed literature in the libraries, and greater freedom of speech, a radical change, as control of speech and suppression of government criticism had previously been a central part of the Soviet system. There was also a greater degree of freedom within the media. In the late 1980s, Soviet government came under increased criticism, as did Leninist ideology, which Gorbachev had attempted to preserve as a foundation for reform. And members of the Soviet population were more outspoken in their view that the Soviet government had become a failure. Speaking of technocrats, remember, Parag Khanna wrote the book Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State, and he said that, you know, oh, sorry, that page is gone now. We can't find that. But not on his website anymore. But he said, you know, American democracy is a failure. Well, democracy seems to be the handmaiden of socialism. It's the tyrant's majority, and so on and so on. I digress. Glasnost did indeed provide freedom of expression far beyond what Gorbachev had intended and changed citizens' views toward the government. Imagine that. Oops. Which played a key role in the collapse of the Soviet Union. That's what the Wikipedia entry says. Who could have ever seen that coming, dear comrades? So, skipping ahead, the Wikipedia entry reads for Glasnost, Gorbachev expressed that Glasnost was greatly needed across Western Europe because of Chernobyl, the Chernobyl incident in 1986, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, this kind of spells it out, you know. The alleged collapse of the Soviet Union is sort of predicated on this throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and we have to do this because, but oops, we didn't see this coming. Now, in the speech, the excerpt that I mentioned, he said, "Gentlemen, comrades, do not be concerned about all you hear about glasnost and perestroika and democracy in the coming years. These are primarily for outward consumption. There will be no significant internal change within the Soviet Union other than for cosmetic purposes. Our purpose is to disarm the Americans and let them fall asleep." Interesting, when we go back and check history, what Major Racy Jordan revealed along the same lines, isn't it? And what Anthony Sutton's research revealed along the same lines, isn't it? And what Norman Dodd said that Horace Rowan Gaither Jr. told him as the newly minted Ford Foundation president. Essentially, we want to so alter life in America. You know, he said, paraphrasing, Gaither said to Norman Dodd, the director of research for the Rees Committee, back in the early 50s, Norman Dodd heard Rowan Gaither say, you know, most of us have come from places like the OSS, and which is the precursor to the CIA, obviously. And we operate on directives that issue from the White House. And again, you know, you have guys like Stuart Chase, part of FDR's so-called brain trust, who says things like, you know, he's quoted as saying, why should the Russians have all the fun remaking the world? He was a technocrat. He was, someone who went and visited, saw how well they controlled people in technocratic fashion. So Gaither says, I would say, alluding to folks like Stuart Chase, we operate here at the Ford Foundation on directives that issue from the White House. You know, it's not so much FDR as it is Philip Drew Administrator, the Edward Mandel Houses, the Stuart Chases, the Walter Lippmanns, et cetera, et cetera. The influencers and persuaders. We operate on directives that issue from the White House, the substance of which is to so alter life in America as to create a comfortable merger between the United States and the Soviet Union. And, of course, as the story goes, Norman Dodd about fell off his chair and said, since the Ford Foundation is essentially underwritten by the American public because of its tax-exempt status, seems you have an obligation to tell the American people that. Would you be willing to testify before Congress to that effect? And Rowan Gaither, of course, said that'll never happen. You know, if he did that, he'd probably get the Ivy Lee treatment, so to speak. Might have an accident. Might, you know, get, you know, catch cancer real fast and die or something. So then, you know, there was Charlotte Isserby's revelation as part of the Department of Education during the same period that Gorbachev said what he said. Charlotte Isserby is hearing, well, you know, what we're doing is we're trying to westernize the Soviet Union. And in reality, she realized we weren't exporting anything. We were importing the Soviet school to work model. And when she said, I think this is actually going in reverse, she was fired. Gary Kaw said this similar things. He was asked to he was invited to inspect a facility that was being built and heard the plans along the same lines. Shocking revelations. There are countless examples of these kinds of things. People have, in positions of authority and in the know, have disclosed these facts of history are all out in plain sight. Like Pat in Texas mentioned yesterday, of course, you know, Anthony Sutton's national suicide is a great jumping off point for those who are unfamiliar. Shocking. And there was more, you know. From 1968 to 73, he published three installments of Western technology and Soviet economic development from 1917 to 1930, 30 to 45, and 45 to 65, which basically sort of expands on Major Jordan's diaries. Then came national suicide military aid to the Soviet Union. And, you know, when you read Major Jordan's account, it's astonishing, the hubris. But then, you know, you can continue on in Anthony Sutton's impeccable research. He was outraged. You know, when you heard him speaking in the 70s and 80s about this, outraged that we would be sending materiel to our alleged enemies only to be used to bomb our own and shoot our own young men, and now young men and women. It's just, and to me, the fact that these things are, it's not a secret. Anthony Sutton's research is impeccable, and it goes against the establishment narrative, which is why, you know, the Hoover Institution said, yeah, we can't have you doing that anymore. So, but, you know, I've talked about in more recent years, conflict armament research is one of the organizations that did some looking into this. Remember, even NBC News published the article. ISIS weapons arsenal included some purchased by U.S. government. Some is disingenuous. It was upwards of 75% were stamped property of the United States government by some estimates. And there were, you know, other outlets that ran that, Eurasia Times, Al Jazeera, et cetera, et cetera. So you know, that was, I think the study they did was based on 2014 data, and that story came out back in 2017. But I find it astounding. These things are out in the public domain, and people keep, you know, yeah, Junior's going to enlist in the military. Well, that's fantastic. I think until we get closer to something like what Smedley Butler advocated, rather than the hegemony that we see, maybe we should be a little more thoughtful and considerate before we just rush off and do a thing. Oh, but it'll pay for college and, you know, this and that. Really? You got to bribe people? That doesn't sound like a good thing either. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
It's the Gladio way, right? The Gladio archetype. So, you know, again, Anthony Sutton's research, impeccable. I mean, validates Major Jordan's diaries. And if you just look at Major Jordan's diary, you see a staggering amount of materiel. I mean, basically we're fighting, it's literally the arming of both sides of a conflict. Sutton's research, same thing. And then there's much more to say on that. You know, again, guys like Chuck Missler, you know, brokering deals through Western Digital with the Soviet Union, there's more to say on that. Anyway, it's just an unbroken thread of this. And we hear, for example, you go back in history, you know, the financial folks funding both sides of a war, we've seen that literally play out in the 20th century, and it's still happening. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. The article that I mentioned, let's go back to that for a second. ISIS weapons arsenal, including some purchased by U.S. government. Sure. Jumping into this article, let's see. So the article is titled, ISIS weapons arsenal included some purchased by U.S. government. Again, Conflict Armament Research was the company CAR, which did the investigation, and by some estimates, upwards of 75% of the weapons found, the caches in some places were stamped property of the U.S. government or came through United States military channels. And, you know, but that's the Gladio way, right? So in the article, according to CAR's report, Iraqi police recovered a Bulgarian-made missile tube, part of a system for firing a wire-guided anti-tank missile during the Battle of Ramadi on February 9, 2016. CAR documented the item and traced its origin to a Bulgarian manufacturer. The company confirmed to researchers that the weapon had been exported to the U.S. Army through an arms broker. So the Albert Hakims are still running in our midst. It was Mao Zedong, right, who said that the guerrillas must walk through the crowd, the regular people, like water, right? Something like that. So U.S. Army through an arms broker on December 12, 2015. It is not entirely clear how the weapon got from the Bulgarian plant to ISIS fighters in Iraq. Yeah, wink, wink. However, a Syrian opposition group called Jaish al-Nasser posted a series of photographs on December 21, 2016, showing fighters posing in a snowy landscape. A closer inspection shows that one of their anti-tank weapons bears an identical lot number and a similar serial number to the item seized in Iraq. That suggests the report says that they, quote, were part of the same supply chain, end quote. And I'll read the rest when we come back, and then we'll talk, you know, is this still happening? And then we'll move on to other things. But, you know, it's astonishing. Until we are honest about what's actually going on and stop lying to ourselves and our children, our posterity, things will only get worse. Stick around. Second hour coming up right after this short break.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.